in Pennsylvania.
It's always the most annoying narrative possible.
Okay. All right. There we go. Only 5 minutes late. Welcome to Barnstorming PA. Our first effort. We're thrilled to have Terrain Myrix, Jontel Toland, and of course your co-hosts. We have to get the jargon worked out. I mean, I think of Terrain and Jontel as co-hosts, but Taylor and I are the co-producers. We're looking forward to this. This is sort of soft launch for what we call season four, which is a reboot of a lot of the things we do. We're looking forward to doing this. If this time works, kind of consistently Mondays at 9, live show, a little looser if that's possible for us. And then we'll keep doing more traditional recorded content where we can do, it allows us to do interviews and things like that. Taylor, did we have an episode go up today?
No, we did not. I just got home. I was traveling and I had some difficulties due to Henri, my timeline's a little pushed back. But we should introduce
everybody on the pod. I think we're going to let Terrain introduce himself and then Jontel.
Great.
Hello, I am Terrain. I am a host of a podcast called Alcoholics, and I am super, super happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Terrain, if you haven't checked out Alcoholics yet, everybody, you really should do it. You're always good for a laugh there. And it's actually, Terrain undersells how informative it actually is. So, check it out. Alcoholics, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Alcoholics. And I was on one. It could have been their best episode. So
it was a great episode. We use your clip about primaries. It was all around good time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was around July 4th. There were fireworks.
There were fireworks.
Yeah. Literally and figuratively.
That is factual. That is correct.
Yeah. Jontel, it's a pleasure to have you on as well. Do you want to say a little bit about your work and your podcast, The Leon Block?
Yeah, thank you for having me as well. I'm happy to be here. It's always great to just chill with you guys. I have to check out that podcast because it sounds really awesome. I definitely want to get on there too, by the way. Just saying. I run a podcast called The Leon Block, which is basically centered around social justice issues, mental health issues, spirituality, culture, anything pertaining to Black and Brown people expressing themselves, furthering themselves, and really living their best lives.
Awesome. Yeah. What we're going to do tonight is we'll see if we get some comments.
You want to introduce yourself, Jordy?
Huh?
You want to introduce yourself?
Oh, did I not? I'm Jordy.
No, you didn't.
Did you introduce yourself?
No. Okay, that's for last.
Sure. My name is Jordy Comis. My kid's grown when I call myself a professional hat rack. I'm a podcaster, a writer, scholar. I'm Lewisburg City Council. I'm one of the co-founders of the Hub for Progress. Do a lot of...
Ronin scholar, freelance anarchist.
One of my children did put that on his financial aid form, freelance anarchist. And then I said that, and then I realized it's a little redundant, I think. Taylor, and then I'll go over what we're going to do tonight.
Okay, yeah. And my name is Taylor Lightman. I professionally lead Lewisburg Neighborhoods, which is a neighborhood revitalization organization. And in my free time, I produce this podcast with Jordy, Barnstorming PA. I told a bunch of people about it at the wedding that I was at, so I'm expecting our stats to go up here. Barnstorming PA, it's a progressive politics podcast about politics in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
All of the big words.
And all rural places, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, some more early stuff. I understand it's for all rural places, but he was hitting on that alliteration right there. You can't stop that. You can't.
We can't.
No, I'm right now I'm trying to think if there's a P word for rural, an adjective for rural places.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because I was writing something the other day and I was talking about rural and I'm so sick of the word rural. I hate the way it feels in my mouth. Like,
yes. Agreed.
Right? Like, roar. Roar. It's like the Scooby-Doo, like, roar, roar. And I looked up synonyms for rural, and they're so bad. It was like hick, redneck, backcountry, backwards. And I was like, this sucks. Yeah, you know? I did learn a new word. This is the kind of high-level content people should tune in for. Georgic, like George, Georgic is a word meaning of the land, of the farm, which made sense because actually my name Jordy is George in English. And I remember reading that George, the Greek root, means soil. And so that's a word, like if you're into 18th century poetry, there were a lot of Georgic poems. But, you know, I don't think I could use that, you know, to pitch Barnstorming. Like, you know, it's a quaint bucolic, bucolic was another one. Quaint bucolic Georgic podcast.
You've been listening to Thesaurus with Barnstorming.
That's right. Wait, the Thesaurus podcast, that's going to be a if we don't make money.
No, he said one. Thesaurus podcast, which is actually much, much better.
That is better. I mean, if I were a kid, I would have been like, does he hang out with Stega and Tyrannosaurus, you know?
And our special guest, Terrain.
Terrain the Saurus.
Oh, this cannot continue.
So we're going to do, I'm going to throw a curveball to our co-hosts to already show that we don't even follow the scripts that we wrote or the show notes, but
what happened? There's actually a freelance anarchist in charge.
That's right. I think all of us have got some kind of life changes.
This man doesn't even go to used bookstores because he thinks they're privatized libraries.
There we go. I was sitting here like, he's got to figure out what
to do. I got to get that out there.
Yeah. For our dedicated fans, that was a great joke that Taylor set up earlier, and I squelched by screwing up the tech, and he needed to bring it back. Well done. Well done. Should one of us be paying attention to the Facebook Live to see if there are comments?
I'm watching it.
Okay, cool. Because I thought I had it up on the page, and I can't find it. Do we even have anybody watching?
yeah, somebody just commented, said, oh, shit, is that Terrain? What's your last name, bro?
Myrix. Wait, someone said Myrix. That? Hang on, let me get in there.
Somebody named Brew?
I shared it to my page, and I have no comments. So the fact that someone somewhere else commenting on it is crazy.
Yes, somebody did say that. We actually have five listeners or five watchers.
Yeah, Drew Wambach.
I cannot believe it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Cool. Now I think we're way too focused on the Facebook side. We should,
yeah, I also
this is about creating
that,
content.
I just entered that mini time loop where I was on Facebook Live listening, deep, watching. Anyway, but sorry about that. But yeah. Where were we? The joke. The joke was great.
Great. Yes.
So yes, welcome, Drew. Thank you for joining and watching. We also have
Is Terrain Myrix. Yes,
it is Terrain Myrix. Yes, that Terrain.
My Zoom went out, but yes, it's Terrain Myrix for sure.
So what we're going to do in a sec is everybody can go around and share if they're willing to, you know, any kind of big, interesting, you know, life changes. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time hopefully doing our headlines of the week. This is a thing we've done in our past podcast, but you know, each of us ideally has some sort of a headline of something that it's a headline you're writing. And then I do have a game, Taylor, that we could
stick in. My game didn't turn out. Worried. I can tell you, since this is the start of season four, I was going to have a game about season four of other TV shows or podcasts.
Oh, that sounds fun.
But the Googling on that was impossible, you know, so.
Here's an idea I had, like a lot of my ideas, 5 minutes before we go live. I was thinking on the live shows, I would love to take like a graph, you know, that's interesting, like one that we probably would recognize is the COVID waves in the U.S., but like take out the labels and sort of just see like, or maybe I'd give it multiple choice, like what is this a picture of, right? Like inequality growth in the U.S. or, you know, all kinds of things we talk about.
That is a very interesting idea. I'm not sure it's one that's particularly suited for the podcast, but
But it's suited for a live visual. That's what I was thinking.
It is good for visual. But if you then take that visual and put it on the feed, no one will get that. So you need to cut that from the feed for sure.
That's true. Okay. I'll have to.
Okay. Anyway, life changes.
Well, let me just finish the overview. So life changes, headlines, maybe the game before a heavier topic. We can decide as we go. I'm kind of interested in talking a little bit about schools. I found some polling data that supports an idea I want to talk about, which is, and maybe we can dig into this, is how much of the sort of mask and vaccine hesitancy or resistance, kind of like what's driving that, what's going on. And if KJ can come on, we were hoping to have KJ Williams, who's a friend of the podcast. He's a veteran, but I'd still be down to talk a little bit about, if people want, about Afghanistan or that piece. Terrain or Jontel, if you guys have some topics you want to bring up. So that's the overall idea. So I was kind of setting you up for this a little bit, Terrain. I don't know if you want to talk about your relocation or some other change.
I am moving. I will be relocating from Columbia County in Bloomsburg to Harrisburg at the end of next month. I'm very, very excited for that. It is a bigger place than this one, and it has central air. So when I record podcasts, I don't have to burn. Like, for example, I don't have the air conditioner on now because I believe in sound for podcasts. I'm not a monster. And it is hot now. My windows are closed. It is hot. I don't like that. I'm really excited to move. I'm moving from Congressman Dan Muser, who voted twice to not impeach the previous president and also didn't vote for the American Rescue Plan, to Scott Perry, who voted twice not to impeach the previous president and voted against the American Rescue Plan.
So that's really,
it's not really an improvement.
Changing it up, y'all.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of out of the frying pan into the fire, but that uses GOP imagery. And I'm not really, it's like off of the elephant's back into his pile of elephant food.
What I will say about where I'm moving to is one of the things I do because I'm a nerd is look up, okay, who are the representatives there and what have the races been like? And truly, I'm moving to a place that is more likely to flip than the current place I'm in. So if I can help in any way of doing that, I'm going to be very happy about that. So I'll take that as the victory.
Awesome. Awesome. Are you like from Harrisburg originally?
No, I'm from Schuylkill County originally. So like,
get out of here.
Well, but I was born in Texas, grew up in Schuylkill County. Like, I don't remember Texas. I wasn't in Texas for very long at all. And I grew up in Schuylkill County. And then when I went to college, I moved out here, and now I'm hopefully going to be there for a long time.
Cool. And his house could be haunted.
Yep. Yeah. It is haunted, and I don't care what anybody says. It's absolutely haunted.
Yeah.
And I apologize if that's not a cool thing to say.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because I talked to the one of the, like, she's an older adult now, but I talked to one of the children of previous homeowners, and she insisted that the house wasn't haunted. And
after she heard about it on Alcoholics,
Found Alcoholics, she listened. That was really cool. I am not being very cool at all by saying I don't believe you. It's haunted, and you can't tell me otherwise.
You know what? No one can tell you that. You have to feel. You have to feel that.
Yeah, I mean, truly, it's probably not, but it's funnier if I say that it is, and I hope she understands that.
That's very honest.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were worried you were going to upset the,
Homeowners Association or something.
No, like the ghost audience, and I was like, they never leave comments anyway, so.
But I'm
not going to repeat a terrible joke I made.
Okay. So my big change is that Melia Tsuneva and I, my girlfriend and I, got engaged. So she's my fiance now.
Oh, and, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So you heard it here first.
Is that true for your mom too? She's gonna be really mad.
No, my whole family knows. I was just at a family wedding. If I hadn't,
can we have a toast? Mazel tov.
So I'm really, really excited about that, and I'm working on the visa stuff to get her here soon. And so that's a big life change for me.
She's famous, or important, I should say, to the podcast, aside from being a huge fan, because she designed our newer logo.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's great.
Apple Podcast, for some reason, reverted to our old logo. Ugh. It's just, I don't know. These
fun little trivia facts.
These guys, what the hell?
Yeah, if you look at our podcast, which has like a kind of a radio tower with lightning bolts, the color palette, this is a bonus for people who are watching live, the color palette is the official 6 colors of Pennsylvania on our flag, which I actually think is a really attractive set when you just look at them.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Jontel, I don't know if you have something. I knew about Terrain and Taylor myself, but so I put you on the spot a little bit. Do you have something you want to share?
Yeah, but it's not funny like all of you guys.
Oh, it's not funny.
Very funny. You think mine's funny?
But no. It's still
hilarious.
That's what his fiance thought. She laughed a lot.
All you guys have such great things going on. It's not that I don't have good things. Like, I think that it's a good thing, but it's disguised as like, oh my God. But I'm actually making a lot of progress with my platform and different episodes that I've been working on that I'm really excited about. But I went through a period where I was just really stuck, like stagnant, and I couldn't get enough material that really spoke to me. And then the whole reason and the inspiration behind my platform, the Leon Block, my grandfather passed away at the beginning of this month. And
we heard that whole story on an earlier episode. We'll try and
Right. It's like he was a big driver for this whole platform, and like, he had a lot of complications last year, in part due to COVID, and he was old as hell. Like, he was 85 years old. So his time was coming anyway. He did like a ton of fucking shit in his life. So I can't be nothing but grateful. And this was something that like was for me to propel forward. Again, it was something we prepared for. We knew what was happening. But still, it was one of those moments, like, it reminded me of how proud he actually is of me. And after the funeral and how things settled down, you know, you make new connections and redefine connections with your family members, which has actually happened. And that stagnicity has kind of went away. And now I've found this like newfound reinvigoration into my platform and directions that I want to go in. And, you know, you get around family members and you hear all kinds of stories that you've never heard before. And like, my grandfather witnessed a cop shoot a woman that was protesting in Newark, and they beat up that cop. He ended up in jail for 2 years. So, I'd like to say that makes me very proud, and it reminds me of where I got my fight from, why I don't run from fights. And little tidbits like that, I think it's changed up what I thought I was going to, where I thought I was going to go with this platform. So,
no, that's great.
A lot of times death can bring about a lot of good things.
That's so beautifully said. I put in the Facebook, if people are watching this, I put the link to an episode we recorded with Jontel. It feels like a lot longer than February, but where you told a lot of the story about your grandfather and the Leon Block and his inventions. That's great. Let's see. I think I turned 49 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jordy.
And I've always very much like, I literally got no gifts from anybody because my whole family is very like, Like my mom was always, my mom would give me something in March.
I gave you a great gift.
For your birthday and Christmas, huh?
I gave you a great gift.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, I really love that thing.
What? I bought him a ticket to go see John Lovett.
Oh, that's true. I didn't realize that was a birthday present.
Oh my god!
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
That's awesome.
Nobody gave me anything. Everybody hates me now.
I am an ass. I really didn't mean to set it up that way.
Nobody gave me anything.
Well, I really love that it's 7 squared. I feel like that's a cooler number than 50. And so now I'm kind of bummed that I didn't try and organize more of a party, but August 22nd is a shitty time for a party. You know, it's humid as hell usually where I'm living, and it's the school year beginning for people. So I think I'm going to do I'm going to figure out what 49% of a year is. So I'm going to do a party on my 7.7 squared, 49 and 49%. But the real event I wanted to share that's a bigger deal and is, yeah, it's somewhere it is good, but it's also kind of serious. Is I have 3 children, so my eldest came out this summer as transgender. So she's Laia, L-A-I-A, or you might hear me say Lygie sometimes, which was a nickname from when she was Elijah. So you know, that's a process and a transition, and you know, we're totally supportive as a family. But it is a transition, you know, what that name was and sort of the outer, you know, shell of this person. So it's been definitely been like a learning experience for everybody. But, you know, I think she's, you know, she's really coming into her own in her own way. And so, you know, it's cool. But so that's why it's a kind of good series. So that's a change for me.
That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Jordy.
Sure. Yeah. So do we have any comments? Oh, Lori said that is awesome. That's so cool. Lori used to work with me at a restaurant. That's awesome. Thanks, Lori. Oh, while we're doing kind of audience shout outs, I think, Taylor, we have our first donor, cash donor. That's right.
Yeah, we do.
So Margot Vigeant, who is a friend, she's an awesome chemical engineer and a foodie. So thanks, Margot, if you're watching, if you catch this.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So we are, bills. That's part of season 4's rollout is, yeah, we actually added up the bills. We realized we'd like to maybe not lose money.
Yeah. So we're going to be rolling out some really great Patreon subscription amounts, and it's going to be such a good deal. You're going to be losing money if you don't contribute.
Yeah. And look, I know I'm drinking Berwick Brewing, which they don't sponsor, but we should ask them to. But it's really great brewery in Berwick. And yeah. Taylor's drinking Corona.
Maybe yeah. They'll sponsor us.
Yeah, go for that. Wait, maybe, yeah. John Taylor Train, do you guys have any good ideas for merch? Because Taylor and I had one of our epic talking about things too long. Like at one point we were thinking
now
about,
we're just completely paralyzed.
Yeah.
With indecision.
Yeah. Like, do people want more coffee mugs? So we're going to have like Patreon levels.
People want more coffee mugs?
Yeah. It's like
you're going to do like a coffee mug with our.
Yeah, we need swag.
Is
that too like NPR?
I would argue that people are drinking out of travel mugs. So you want like instead of a mug, get either do the travel mug with your logo or like a koozie.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I agree.
I want to have like a bumper sticker that's like amalgamated podcast, nonprofit, and volunteer workers unions or something like that.
Is that a union?
No, it's not a union. No, it's not a union, but it's the one that I would belong to, you know?
I mean, I think we did have the idea that we're going to aim to have a party for everybody who gives, and I think I've roped myself into cooking paella for it. If you don't know, paella is a famous rice dish from where my dad's family's from in Spain, near Barcelona. That one was easy. I mean, we were thinking about barn themed things like a pitchfork or that, you know, so you could like march on the elites with your pitchforks.
Yeah. Should we do headlines?
Sure.
I can start.
Wait, before, really quickly, day 179 would be, doing the math, you'd be like 178.8 is the 49% of 365. So you're looking so you're looking at June 28th, which is already passed.
Oh.
What? How can that be? It should be
No. It would be 178 days from
the end of the
yesterday.
Year?
No, from yesterday.
No, from my birthday. So 148 days after August 22nd.
Oh, 107. Wait. Then I didn't get that. That's not the way I understood it.
Sorry. But I love the math. I have to figure out 148 is 49% of 365.
Wait, so hang on a second. Let me just get this calculator out real quick. So we're doing 49%, right? You were 49. So I did 49% of 365 because that's how many days there are. And I got 178.85. So I got rounded up to 179. That's the kind of stuff I'm doing while we're talking.
I'm impressed. So now I figure out, you've actually helped. So I figure out what's 179 days after August 22nd. I'll work on that.
After August 22nd, I can get that. Go ahead. Everyone keep talking.
All right. Okay.
Okay. My headline, which relates to what we're talking about, is we're back. There was a little bit of a break in our podcasting while I started my new job in 412.
Yeah, that'd be 412. If you're doing one that many days after your birthday, after August 20, what did you say?
Wait.
August 22nd.
22nd. That's day 234 in the calendar.
I don't understand your math. I don't understand.
Like, we need to take August 22nd and then subtract however many days that is from the end of
the
year.
I'm not sure this is great content.
Yeah, this is not great content. Yeah. We'll work on this later. We'll make it work.
Yeah. Hey, how about we stop doing this, whoever's doing it?
So my headline is we're back. It's not about the news. It's about our podcast, and we're starting season 4. Yay us, and be on the lookout for new content. Ta-da!
Yay!
That seems kind of lame, Taylor. That seemed like I can't.
Okay, well, I can tell you the backup, which was
No. Let's go around.
Henri Ennui.
God! Oh.
So you should be happy.
They both suck.
Yeah, they do. I didn't have a lot of time today to.
You were in the car all day.
Yeah, I know, but that's not always the best place to think.
Okay, Terrain, do you have one?
Yeah, I didn't completely understand the assignment. So what I did was
this is why I got fired as being a teacher. I'm shit explaining assignments.
I wrote headlines as if I'm like a news organization.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the yeah.
That's why Taylor's sucked.
Yeah. Mine okay. Wasn't
I heard yours. I'm like, I heard yours, and I'm like, I don't think.
Although mine could have been all caps. We are back. You know, maybe after newspaper returns or something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have three. I'll use one. I'll try to find one. And then if we want alts, I have a couple. Okay. I put, let's go with number two here. Trump vaccine snake predictably eats self. Donald Trump was doing one of his rallies in Alabama and said, "Hey guys, you should get the vaccine," and got booed. This idiot found a way to get booed by his own fans because somehow by turning the vaccine and the science behind COVID-19 into some sort of divisive political football, it turns out that sometimes blows up in your face. So he had to kind of backpedal and go, "Oh, you guys got freedoms. You don't necessarily. I mean, you should. If it was bad, I'd tell you." Like, all right, weirdo.
I mean, he and all of his followers, you know, if there's competitive Twister, like if Twister became an Olympic sport, they'd nail it because they're so good at tying themselves into knots over this, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's Olympic trampoline. Why isn't there Olympic Twister? That would be cool.
Because trampolining is fun to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Speedwalking's not fun to watch. But anyway, don't get me started on the Olympics.
Hard.
Do you want to give any alts? Or should we?
Let's go around. I like that.
Oh, come on. I wanted one alt.
I gave one alt, so.
All right. All right. Go ahead.
Media plays Where's Waldo with Barbara Lee. The only person in Congress who voted not to go to war in Afghanistan somehow, for the most part, couldn't be found to interview. But we were able to find Karl Rove and Dana Perino and all of these motherfuckers who were like in on it from jump. We got them down pat. Barbara Lee. The only one I saw was like.
Who's the Zamboni face guy with the big mustache?
I don't know. Oh, John Bolton, that fucker.
Yeah, John Bolton.
Yeah, yeah.
That Monopoly Man looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
They immediately were able to talk to him.
I know where the WMD is. It's behind his mustache.
but yeah, no one could really talk to Barbara Lee about anything, even though she was the only, literally only person in 2001 in a position of power who was right about this.
Let me underscore that because I researched this last week. You're absolutely right. It was every senator voted for the authorization for use of force, and one person voted against it. And what she said in her speech, I went and tracked it down. And it's like weird to me that like YouTube pre 2008 always looks so fuzzy, you know, like we're looking at something from the 1940s or something, but it was really, you know, fuzzy. But like one of her main points was the way it was written was too broad. And so she didn't, you know, like this is where I was then, and I think I still am. It's like after the attacks on 9/11, it's like we got to do something, but this gives too much power to the executive. And there was something that somebody wrote in the last week where that was really specific. I think it was a podcast or something. It was like we're living in the world that the War on Terror built, and I was like,
oh, that's an Ezra Klein podcast.
It was an Ezra Klein podcast. Yeah. All right.
One addendum to that, the 98 senators voted for it. Two didn't vote. Jesse Helms and Larry Craig. I assume Larry Craig was trying to solicit sex in a bathroom somewhere and then in an airport.
Yeah, I just missed Terrain, it. Yeah.
You are a walking encyclopedia. I was like, hey, Larry.
I did work for this. I'm not kidding. I did work for this. I did.
Those are great headlines.
To get these 2000s jokes in here.
Those are great headlines.
That's impressive.
Did you guys see that one video of the really quickly? I'm sorry. Did you guys see the one video of that congresswoman from New York, the Democratic congresswoman from New York that was like dressed in the full burqa?
Caroline Maloney from New York's 12th. Yeah. What on earth?
It is mind blowing that she did that. So insensitive.
What happened? I totally lost. Like, what happened?
She was on the House floor talking about how we were dropping not only bombs but food. So we're even being humanitarian throughout war while wearing a burqa on the House floor. This white woman wearing a burqa on the House floor to talk about this.
Yeah. It was super weird.
Watch John Oliver, y'all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very strange to see. And it was also one of these things that had the like the 1940s, but it definitely looks more 1990s than 2001, which I guess is pretty close. But it just seemed like it was a different era.
Mm-hmm. We're like, you don't lose a primary because of that in the Democratic Party. You were just fine.
Yeah, I will say I've been thinking a lot about The Sopranos as we talked about the end of the war in Afghanistan, because it's like that show is all about how like it's all pretty meaningless. And like, I feel like we're just like the war in Afghanistan basically was pretty meaningless war. And it just feels like we're like relitigating that like time in our lives.
You're saying that was a thematic connection for you, or do you think that the writers were somehow?
That was a thematic connection between me.
Yeah. Because there have been I mean, I know at least the Battlestar Galactica reboot very conscientiously, it was more Iraq, but both were similar situations of us trying to hold back a counterinsurgency. But I don't know if anybody else a sci-fi geek, but the Battlestar Galactica that was very much about like there was a whole couple of seasons that was like dealing with like those things.
John, yeah. John Tell, do you have a headline?
I think I took you guys like way too serious. So I more so just have a like, yeah, I want to talk about one particular topic I find very interesting that could have been completely avoided, but we are where we are. So what do you guys think about the executive producer of Jeopardy, Mike Richards, finally stepping down as the new host of Jeopardy?
Can I give? Wait. If you don't have a if you don't want to have a specific outline for a specific
I don't. Go ahead.
That was my third one. I put Mike
go Richards. In.
Mike Richards tries and fails to become Dick Cheney. Another 2000s reference. Great. Dick Cheney attempted to Dick Cheney was the one who ran Bush's search for a vice president, and he decided that the best person for the job was him. That's exactly what Mike Richards did,
only while getting all of the skeletons in the closet of all of his contenders.
Right,
this is a real boss move.
Getting that, putting LeVar Burton on during the Olympics so it looks like he doesn't have an audience, like all of that shit, and then just for the ringer to report, oh, he's actually a really awful human being, and then he's like, shit. Yeah, he's trash. He's trash.
So what was the headline? Yeah. And was it in the form of a question?
It was in the form of a question, yeah.
that's true.
This executive producer tries and fails to become Dick Cheney. Who is
That's perfection.
That's really good. That's really
I'm
good.
I'm so glad you did that, because I'm like, I'm not going to get to use my last one.
So did they figure out who's going to be the new... Or is it just not going to be him?
They're going to do a new search, but me and Bialik is going to take over while they do a new search. She's going to be doing the. Why are we doing a new search, y'all? LeVar Burton's there. He's just waiting. What are we doing? Yeah.
Do you guys have any ideas about who would be a good Jeopardy host?
I think Terrain just said LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar Burton. Pretty good. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I haven't considered anyone else. It's him. Get him in. Give him the job. Move on.
Will Ferrell actually did a pretty good job on SNL, and I think he should just redo that character. Honestly, you know, I think that would be kind of funny.
I love those celebrity Jeopardies with like the Burt Reynolds and Sean Connery, and I don't even know why I think they're funny. I mean, is Sean Connery like that? It would just crack me up. I don't know. Sean Connery is always punking Alex Trebek, but. There was a professor from the college I went to, not when I was there, but just after, but he was an English professor, and my wife was an English major there, and he was on Jeopardy, and he won like two or three times. He was a Shakespeare expert, right? And the final Jeopardy question was Shakespeare, and he of course bet it all, and he missed it. I know, isn't that like the worst? That's like the worst stress dream you can imagine in real life. You're on Final Jeopardy. You could win. It's your field of expertise, and you blank on the question. Isn't that crazy? It was terrible. What Shakespearean play has the same seven-letter word at the beginning and end of the play, at the name of the play? Not that I would know. It's Measure for Measure, if somebody cares. But I was just like, God, that's going to suck, right? And then you have to go back to your department the next week. It's like, I think his name is Wayne or Owen. It's like, so Owen saw you on Jeopardy.
You have to have a lot of like confidence to go on Jeopardy in the teachers tournament, knowing that your student, there are teachers of like eighth graders, like, I'm going to go on Jeopardy in the teachers tournament. It's just like, you know, if you mess up, your eighth grade class is about to clown you so hard you have to change school. Like, you can't, like, that's why I can't imagine someone like having the just, I could do this. No, you can't. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do anything else.
Brody, do you have any,
my headline is, it kind of relates to, wait a minute, does it? I guess it relates a little bit to somebody's anyway. I've only had half of a beer. Mine was, it's very short and sweet, but it's war has no constituency. Just because, mostly because like a few people I know kind of social media chatter, it's like, oh, you know, like the picture of the helicopter in Kabul did look totally like Saigon. And, you know, I feel like a lot of the normal chattering heads and punditocracy and my father-in-law were like, oh, this is going to be so bad for Biden and Democrats. I'm like, no, it's not. Come on. Like, no, it's like 70-75% of Americans have wanted this to end for a long time. And I think KJ was trying to call in. I know he's a veteran. And I don't know if we want to go there. You know, this whole, I mean, John Kerry was the one, didn't he testify after he was serving Vietnam? And he's like, nobody wants to be the last soldier home, or nobody wants to feel like they fought for a war that didn't matter. But like, you know, I feel like we always have to preface these things with saying, of course, I support the troops. And I almost want to stop saying that because, of course, right? Like, that's not an issue. Like, you know, whatever suicide prevention and veteran support and all that, they totally need. But like, that shouldn't stop us from, you know, as a democracy, being like fully able to like understand and critique our foreign policy, you know. And and what I'm trying to say is, and I think these Afghan papers that are coming out, like, everybody knew, like, how did we get into this place? Everybody in government, everybody in America knew that this was unwinnable, right? For like years. And we all were just like, everybody was too afraid to like say the truth, which is like, you know, there's no political appetite to keep troops there forever. No one understands what it means to try and build a, you know, an Afghanistan that works. So,
yeah, I don't know. Speaking, you know, as like a, you know, a millennial, like, I feel like the only wars that I've ever experienced, which is the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and the war on drugs, are just like horrible, misbegotten, expensive, and ineffectual. And hopefully, like, this has really shaped my generation in a way that makes us think more carefully about these things in the future.
But also, that's exactly what we got out of Vietnam. So what the fuck? Like, we had one successful campaign in Grenada in 1983, and we, you know, like, I mean, we know the constituency for war. It's the industrial and military complex and all of the bases and all of the contractors who lobby, you know, Congress. But I do think there's a similarity, like, too many Democrats, elected Democrats, didn't have the like political courage to say that the war on drugs, you know, was driving mass incarceration. And you know, it's been so awful and divisive. And too many were not willing and to say that this was a mistake. And Biden, I think people will give, I think a lot of moderates and people in the middle will give him credit, you know, because he never thought this was a great war. He has a long record. I mean, yeah, he voted for the original initial authorization, but, you know, like, I think for him, especially as a father of people serving the military, he's like, yeah, it's a no-brainer.
I think that that's right. Like, if you look at any sort of polling data, it shows that we don't want to be a part of this. Obviously, if you like pull it in a little bit, like in a little bit of a different question of like, should we help to stave off the chaos that's currently happening? Yeah, absolutely. People are like, we can't let that happen as well. But this has been an incredibly unpopular war for an incredibly long amount of time. We've been doing like a 20-year occupation, and over the course of like four presidents, we finally are like, we can't keep doing this. The previous president actually was like, we can't keep doing this, and want to do it with us sooner. Like, this is such a bipartisan blunder. like it's not, this isn't like a Republican versus Democrat situation. This is a, we as the U.S. royally fucked up, thought we could go in, march into a country, dictate how they behave, dictate how their government runs. And then it turns out, oh, oopsies, we can't do that. And we figured that out pretty early and still couldn't figure out when we should stop trying to do that. So it is one of those things where it's you see like political hand wringing by people on the right who are like, look at Biden messing this up, and look, he's the president while this is all falling apart. But like, let's be clear. If I start a house of cards in 2001 and pull,
you don't mean a series, you don't mean a show,
and pull multiple cards from the bottom, and then each president just kind of walks past it. And then in 2021, one president's like, let me try to put some, oh no, it all just fell down. That's not necessarily entirely their fault. It's my fault. It's the next person's fault. It's we, as a foreign policy, this was a disaster. It was a disaster. It was, we lost so many riches, so much blood.
$2 trillion.
Unnecessary. Wildly spectacularly bad. And the fact that we were still in just like now, this should have been done so long ago.
$2 trillion. Did I say that? $2 trillion.
It's more than that if you count the interest.
Okay.
because we financed it. We debt financed
and
it.
And $85 billion was just what we were paying to pay the troops who didn't do anything. I mean, I will say one thing that I saw go by was the guy, and I can't remember his name, Fahim Azhar or something, the man who was the president. You know, he just ran, and like I'm like, good, right? Because if he tried to stay and get that military to try and fight, you know, more and some people die. I mean, there's nothing good about Afghanistan now, but if we have to measure misery and horror on a slide, you know, on shades of gray, like that's a small thing. I do want to come back to something you said, Terrain. I totally agree. You know, I'm like, anybody who, you know, worked for a contractor or US military as a translator or a driver or a cook or whatever, down out to your fourth cousin, you want to come here? All right, come, right? Because that is like literally the least we could do. And, you know, I'm like, can we take one time? And people are like, oh, how do we know who's who and blah, blah. It's like, because one of the things is people who are criticizing Biden, it's like, what did you want him to do? Speed up the visa process in a war-torn country? You know, like you wanted him to keep 50,000 troops there and engage in a civil war against the Taliban so that we could have visa processing? Like, that's stupid. So we take Guantanamo, right? We return all the people who are there illegally. We put up some air-conditioned tents, right? And we can do all the visa processing there or somewhere else. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's a really bad idea, to be honest.
Bad?
I think that's a bad idea, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. I'm just saying, like get them off the ground. Like, this whole, like, we can't resettle them. I'm like, we don't need to resettle them right away. I mean, you know, just take everybody and help them. I mean, you know, that's probably $20 billion. It wouldn't cost that much. I did find some things, and I'll put in the show notes. There's several organizations that are trying to help, and a lot of them have very specific, like, foci. There's several, I'm especially sensitive to as a podcast. There's several organizations trying to reach out to journalists, and especially women journalists, to try and keep the news flowing out. There's several aid organizations that are helping with immediate aid, and there's also some other, like, immigration and refugee resettlement. But yeah, I'm, you know, to me, I'm like,
the thing I don't really like totally.
That's the only thing that's our foreign policy now, is help everybody wants to leave.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that Joe Biden's the president and that, you know, as he said, and other people say, you know, the buck stops with him, you know, like decisions reach his desk and, you know, he makes them and, you know, he can't blame this on anybody else. But it's not like he was the one crafting the exit strategy, you know, like this is a problem with our intelligence community and our like logistics planning, like this, honestly, the whole thing, you know, it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think we really badly need to shake up our intelligence, like our civilian intelligence agencies.
Sorry, I just want to say one more thing. This argument that, like, we have to stay to honor the sacrifice of the soldiers and people who died is so, I don't know how many people are going to alienate saying this. It's such a stupid logic. It's like, if it's not a war worth fighting, you can't make it more worth fighting by pouring more blood and money on it. How in any way is that a logical way to think about it?
People are really susceptible to the sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah. Chantel, you want to throw in some wisdom and knowledge?
In it all. I'm just like, y'all just dropping bombs.
I was 18 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait in 1990. And I registered for the Selective Service on August 23rd or so. And went off to college, and it wasn't the first thing I had done in politics, because I did some stuff very local, but like I was marching No Blood for Oil, joined a student group, and I was so sure that this was Vietnam too, right? Like, it was going to be a 6-year protracted war. And I was even like, maybe I should drop out of school because, you know, this is just so wrong. And it just, you know, it hit me really, you know, deep level. And then 2002, 2003, you know, when Dick Cheney et al. Were like, oh, we got to go to Iraq. We were all like, I mean, I don't know how old you are, Terrain, but, you know, we were all like, no, this is stupid. And some of the biggest protests ever in the history of humanity were against that war. And they didn't do anything, right? And I don't know if anybody, maybe somebody's written on this, but to me it's like, because we're talking about politics, like that was also in the emergence of a lot of the digital technologies. But I feel like there was a sense of like people power, marching power doesn't work, right? We didn't stop it. And this feels like out of the control of people. And then in the US, the immigrant rights movements in 2006, Black Lives Matter, all of the Arab Spring and other stuff and Occupy, I think kind of rebirthed sort of energy into the idea that like street politics could make it. It's not like people gave up, but it was like, it doesn't seem like the model of big street protests can work. So that's kind of just kind of on my mind. I feel like kind of my whole adult life as, you know, an engaged citizen and an activist, you know, it started with peace things and here we are right back. And, you know, literally 30 years later, this kind of goes to what I was saying earlier. And I, part of me is like, we haven't learned a thing. We just haven't learned a thing. So I'm sorry to be a downer.
I was 11 when, so I couldn't really do a whole lot. I was 11.
Why didn't you do more terrain?
No one would call me.
Actually,
no, I didn't have a cell phone at that time, so that wouldn't have worked.
But like people now are like, you know, they're like, why didn't Gen X solve climate change? And I'm like, well, shit, we were trying. Yeah. Sorry, man. I mean,
it's hard to solve.
Have you noticed capitalism?
I it's hard to solve climate change when I'm just trying to do geometry homework. Like it's really ridiculous. I think that one of the things that it seemed like you were saying was like that, like, you know, taking to the streets and that sort of activism.
Yeah.
I do think that has become, now we've obviously seen various moments in history where it was incredibly useful and it was like the catalyst that moved progressive change. I think that you're seeing it become a tool now because it's all that works a lot due to its coupling with social media, right? Like it's before, it's like you have to hope that news media jumps onto whatever you're protesting, right? You have to hope that the news cameras find you. You create news cameras in this in 2021, right? In 2020, 2021, in the 2010s moving forward, you create that. You create the buzz. That's what Twitter's for. That's what TikTok's for. That's what Instagram's for. You create the buzz around what you're fighting for, and people take note, and that is a lot of what gets things changed. Obviously not enough, and there are still a lot of things that, you know, need to move, but I do think that it is proven to be pretty successful in this time due to its ability to be coupled with other things.
Let's schedule a podcast to talk about like movement theory and people power and levers. I mean, I want to agree with you because I feel like I'm supposed to. And the only other alternative is to give up or to engage in armed revolution. And I don't really like those.
Yeah. Do you guys think that if the George Floyd protests had not happened, that the result would have, like he would have, his family would have had some sort of justice through the judicial system?
Yeah, because if George Floyd hadn't died, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Like, whole point of why I'm doing this is because I filmed people protesting and the government and city lying on us saying that they didn't do certain things that I filmed them doing. And that's why I have my platform, is to speak truth to power and to talk about the things that Black and brown and poor people are facing, working class people are facing, that the government doesn't like to talk about, the mainstream media doesn't like to talk about. They won't. They're not going to. But if that situation had not happened, a lot of people like me and people that are doing this just like me would not be out here continuing. Beforehand, there were multiple different things that we saw, but it wasn't a huge catalyst. George Floyd, it was literally the perfect storm with everyone being home and COVID. Like, it was the perfect storm for something to happen, and I'm glad that it did, but there's still an upward battle of independent journalists and filmmakers and videographers like myself that it's not even just about being seen as an amateur. It's just about getting into areas, whether it's government or city or just regular people alike, and showcasing things that no one else is going to want to touch, but we have to. That's the only thing I see as a really big uphill battle, but I do see a lot of positive coming from it in the sense of there are a lot of people like me that are doing this more and more and more.
Terrain, yeah, I didn't really flesh out all my thoughts. I sort of gave sort of three parts of a sentence, but like, because I think I need some time to think about it, but it's like the role, like everything you guys are saying fits into it and it's important, but it's like, I'm saying that like what is the role of people power and organizing and sort of taking over spaces and sort of its effectiveness, I think kind of waxes and wanes. And so that was a kind of real low moment, right? But it's also about what, you know, we're building people power in the street to try and create leverage on this thing, the foreign, you know, the foreign policy apparatus, the intelligence apparatus and the military, which is really, really impervious to that, right? Whereas changing local police laws or other things is less impervious. I still think, I think it's really important to like kind of keep talking about tactics and strategy and how they matter. And in fact, I was reading a book the other day called Prisms of People that talks about that, which maybe we can talk about. Sorry, Taylor.
I'll tell you something that I, you know, that speaks to what Jontel was just talking about. It's something that I do think is effective is like diversifying the media landscape and broadening the perspectives that are heard.
Not even,
which is why I do this.
But not even just people of color within mainstream media, but also independent journalists in general of all colors as well, because you need someone to challenge the mainstream. And I think that's part of the bigger problem.
But yeah. There's always,
I agree with that, Jontel, because I think that you I don't want this to sound super not politically correct, but just like adding diversity
for diversity's sake
is like not helpful, because each of those people have their own, or each of those networks have their own view. And to me, like the thing that you need is like a diversity of different perspectives. Cause I feel like CNN is just so corporate and each person on there is just has such the same mentality that I like, it doesn't even really matter. Like it's just, there's just like,
we have like so many far, far right platforms and everything else in between. There's nothing that's super far left. And that's like what I try to provide is the atmosphere for people to literally say what they want and not feel like they're going to have repercussions for it. Like, let me handle those repercussions as far as social media go.
Yeah, but I don't even talk about left versus right. I just want like different, like a whole different group of people to like share their perspective,
but there needs to be a balance and a check and balance system as well, you know what I mean? There has to be some kind of yin and yang. I think that would be a good fresh start in the very least. There was something that Jordy spoke on. I do want to touch on it real quick, because here in Lancaster it's coming up on a year since Ricardo Munoz was shot and killed by Lancaster police, and we are throwing a candlelight vigil on the year anniversary. Jordy talked about how Lancaster City has had situations prior to Ricardo Munoz, and so this will likely not be the last. And so when, not if, but when another Ricardo Munoz happens, what will we do? How will we react? I think these are things that we really need to think about and really kind of firmly set into place for people that are involved in this kind of stuff to really, those questions do need to be worked out and thought about in detail. So it does bring up a really good, a bunch of really good questions.
I, you know, last August, I think some Marianne Velez, especially as part of putting together some Black Lives Matter and George Floyd, like virtual events, she did some research and like, I don't think, at least to my knowledge, we sort of the rural progressive left, the Upper Progress, like any of that haven't done as much with it. But I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was like in the last couple of years, it was like hundreds of people in Pennsylvania who've been killed by police. And of those, I have the number like 180 or 190 in my head. There was like a mental health link, right? But it goes to what you're saying. I mean, Prado Muñoz is in Lancaster. Osagie, one in State College.
Osagie, I think.
Thank you. In State College was a year before George Floyd. Those are two that we know about. And it's hard. I mean, Jontel, especially to you, I mean, huge props and shout out, because like to my experience, like, you know, people get tired of movement and activism stuff and they can get kind of burned out. So, you know, that you've still got all this energy and positive energy, you know, I don't know if you always know probably how much that's doing to kind of lighten the burden for other people. So on that cheery note, do you guys want to play a game? It's kind of silly and stupid, but
yeah,
let's do it.
Okay. This is the way it works. So I've got about five or six questions, and I went into Google and I started to type, you know, like, I started to type a question and then I screenshot like what the answers were. So I'm going to give you four answers. One of them is not correct. And I don't know shit about algorithms, but it was me and my account. And I did try to recreate it in an incognito window. So I don't know if that helps or hurts you, but I think Google is partly feeding me the results based on me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, this is an example, like,
so, you know, we're just the mindset of Jordy's Google.
Well, I wouldn't say it was obvious, but it was interesting when I tried it incognito. And I'll explain which question I did that on. So everybody will give an answer and then I'll tell you the correct answer. Okay. Okay. The first one is, so this is the beginning of part of the question. Why don't people A, like me, like a question mark. Why don't people B, get vaccinated? Why don't people C, ride zebras? Why don't people D, vote? So is it, why don't people A, like me, B, get vaccinated, C, ride zebras, D, vote? Everybody gets A, B, C, or D. You need me to say them again?
Are we looking for the right answer or the wrong answer?
One of those is not what came up. So like I, you know, I like three of those were the autofill. One was not.
I'm going to say the zebra one didn't happen.
Okay. So we're looking what didn't happen. Good.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Taylor says the zebras.
I'm in agreement. The zebra one.
I'm going to go with the zebra too, but I wanted to go for a different one.
Which one's your aim? What's your alt?
I'm going for zebra. I'm not going to have an alt. I don't want to be like, I could have won. No.
Why don't people get vaccinated was not one of them.
All
of
the other. That's
really? That's so sweet.
Why are people so stupid about zebras?
That's really bizarre.
It is.
Some other ones were, why don't people wear masks? Why don't people like the word moist? Why don't people...
Now we have to put a trigger warning on, Jordy.
I also think it's really funny. Why don't people like me? Like, who puts that in Google? Why do you think Google has the answer?
That's a good question.
They know a lot about everybody.
Google knows a lot about what I got going on. So I think that Google would be like, no, we get it, Taran. Here's why.
Okay. Yeah.
So I will say that some of these...
you're still ghosting people?
Yeah.
I typed that in and I clicked I'm feeling lucky and it just went to my podcast.
there are some that I don't know if the fact that I did this is politically incorrect or in a way the Google autofill captures like what are the worst elements of human.
Here we go.
So you know what I'm doing, right, Tareen?
It's gonna be bad.
So the next one is why
is this on incognito? Is this on Jordy's?
No, this was me. The incognito one on this one didn't give anything, which made me think it was strange. So it was why do white people? Okay, mm-hmm. So that's the first. So one of these was not what came up in my autofill suggestions. Everybody understand? So it was why do white people A say racist things? Why do white people B tan, like the verb tan, like why do they tan? C, why do white people wear shoes in the house? D, why do white people grow hair faster?
D.
Should I say them again?
It's D.
Oh, my man knows it.
No, don't tell. You're looking for the one that doesn't fit.
Yeah, D.
Okay. Guntel is sure it's the one that is not part of the autofill is why do white people grow hair faster? Taylor?
Can you say them again?
Yeah. Why do white people A, say racist things, B, tan, like their skin tans, C, wear shoes in the house, D, grow hair faster?
I'm going to go with C.
Wear shoes in the house? Okay. And
do wear shoes in the house.
And Serene, which one do you think does not belong?
Oh, I wear shoes in the house, but I do love the confidence on D.
I do too. Tell me about the confidence, Chantel.
I've never heard that question before. Heard anyone bring that up before. But you know what? After thinking about it, C, you know what?
I
don't wear shoes in the house.
I don't either. Yeah.
Do a lot of white people.
That doesn't. We're trying to extrapolate our own experience. Yeah.
Okay. The one that was not in my autofill, this one weirdly, maybe is weirdly about me, was say racist thing. So nobody who's wondering why white people say racist things goes to Google and asks Google what people say racist things.
Yeah, everyone's like, no, we get it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jontel. When I saw the grows hair faster, I was like, I've never heard of that. And it's probably just straight versus curly or kinky. It's just your perception of
right. Like everybody's hairy or not hairy or something. I don't know. So I've never heard that one.
I actually get the same three top suggestions on Google. Tan,
okay.
In the house, grow hair faster.
Really?
Arden Hunt guessed tan.
I also.
Wait, what did you get?
Arden Hunt on your page guessed tan.
Oh.
I wondered because I feel like I saw this. I'm like borrowing it like from several years ago, and I sort of wonder if Google scrubbed it because it was so embarrassing, right? So I don't know. Anyway, the next one is because I couldn't help myself. Why do black people? Okay,
I don't want to dance. I don't want to know what Google wants. Okay.
I know this is where I did wonder if this was in poor taste, but I already started it.
I just want to point out before we do this, one of these is one you made up, right?
Oh, yes.
We're about to find out a little bit about you. So I just want to make sure that's on the table right
now. Who wants to skip this one?
Oh, I no longer would.
No, let's hear it, Jordy.
Okay, my heart rate just went up. Why do black people A, age better, C, say acts like AKS, C, wear wigs, D, not vote? Should I do it again?
Which is the one that Jordy made up?
So which is the one Jordy made up? Yes. Terrain has very accurately renamed the game. I just feel like I created like a verbal Rorschach test of my own brain for you all. Anyway. Why do black people A, age better, B, say acts, AKS, C, wear wigs, D, not vote?
A.
I'm also going to guess that you made up A.
Yeah, because it's like white guilt, he makes up.
It's super safe. Yeah, it's very safe. It's like kind. Yeah, it's got to be A.
Yeah.
Taylor?
My Zoom cut out for a second, but.
Oh, sure it did.
Oh, no, it was like, you don't want to hear this, man. You gotta.
It wasn't your Zoom cutout. It was your brain.
I think you did B. Why do black people say acts? I think that's what you put in there. You son of a bitch.
Can I keep it 100 here? Like I have.
I'm right. Say I'm right now.
No, you're not right. Actually, I'll tell you in a sec. But I have Googled that because it I was curious and it's just not how I grew up speaking English. So does that make me a little racist? I don't know. Wait. I just was curious.
So I'm only not right because you Googled that?
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
we're still friends, right?
Okay. Interesting.
Right. Let's wrap this up. Which one did you make up?
It was the one I made up was not vote. And I made it up because I thought it was the kind of thing that annoying white people would have Googled. So that's the one I made up. So what does that say something about me?
Interesting.
No.
No.
No, the thing you did Google says something about you, but sorry. No, you're fine. I'm just bitter that I got that wrong by default.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, the next one, we're going a little Pennsylvania here. Why is Philadelphia A, so mean, B, so poor, C, so dirty, D, not the capital of PA? Why is Philadelphia A, so mean, B, so poor, C, so dirty, D, not the capital of PA?
I'm going to guess D because that's I don't know who's thinking that.
That no one knows much about. Some people think that Philly is in New York City or in Jersey. A lot of people don't even think that Philly is a part of PA.
That sounds like
it's just like you.
They think that Philly is in New York City. Like, I love that.
I'm so serious. I've met.
No, I believe you.
I have met people where I've told them that Philadelphia is not the capital of the state. And
I had an argument with a cousin of mine.
Americans have no sense of geography, don't care whatsoever. Yeah. Like, it's sad. But you know, all us here, we love this kind of stuff, and that seems like something you would put in.
It is. It does, doesn't it? I'm so transparent. I'm so.
And Jordy, just so you don't feel like you've completely gotten away from racial overtones here, This wasn't a complete moving on, you know.
Oh yeah, right. But so you're saying I. Oh, but if I made up not, that means that other people were so mean, so dirty, so poor. I didn't.
No, I've you said moving on now.
I don't think. Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
I'm guessing poor. I'm guessing that's not one of the original.
Oh, okay. Wait, did people guess? Oh, Taylor guessed not the capital. Okay, Chantel, what's yours?
Not the capital.
So mean.
Again, I need to start analytically, like, legitimately, no one needs to, like, Google why is Philly so mean. No one cares why. They're just mean. Like, don't.
I know.
No, we're not mean. You just have to, like, it's a comfortability thing. Like, it's a matter of perception, because really we're just treating you like we've known you our whole lives. So
yeah, like
in that sense, yeah,
fuck
we're
you,
mean.
Fuck you as I love you, like platonically. Like I love exactly. you as part of the human race.
Exactly.
Fuck you and your mother. That's like
there was a Canadian robot that was hitchhiking from Canada to the United States of America.
I heard about
and
this.
It did the robot was great. Everywhere until it got to Philly, where it literally was destroyed.
You ain't lying.
Philly beat the shit out of a hitchhiking robot that had a smiley face, a digital smiley face. They're like, fuck this noise. And then they made Gritty like 10 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gritty has to be about the best mascot in sports history, though.
Can I point out that I don't think any of you have gotten any of them right yet?
Not one.
No.
I'm giving myself a half point because you Googled the one. I'm giving myself a half point.
Somehow I feel like I have like two more. I feel like there's a defense of Googling the ask and acts thing, but I can't figure out what it is. And I keep opening my mouth and I feel like my foot gets bigger in it.
I think you should move on to the next question.
Are you guys, is this good? Should we do one or two more? Do you like this?
I think we should do one until we get one right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. Why is country music A, so bad, B, so hated, C, so patriotic, D, the best?
What was the question again?
Why is country music A, so bad, B, so hated, C, so patriotic, D, the best?
The fake one is so patriotic.
Okay.
I think the fake one is the best.
Of course, you guys could be cheating. I'm just trusting you not to. Chantel? So bad, so hated, so patriotic?
This is hard. I think I'm going to go with... I'm torn between both of their answers. The best sounds like something you would put.
If we were cheating, would he not have gotten one right?
Yeah.
Terrain? You are a winner.
Yes! Come get it!
Wowza.
That's
great. I love that it's both that the Google autofills is so bad and so good and so hated and so popular. Like, those are four of the autofills that cracks me up.
Yeah, that's very strange.
All right.
Well, this is for the tie.
Okay, this is for that. This is the last one. Okay. No, this is another Pennsylvania themed one. Okay. Why are the Amish so forgiving? A, so forgiving. B, not stuck in time. C, tax exempt. D, the way they are.
D.
Why are the Amish A, so forgiving? B, stuck in time. C, tax exempt.
No.
D, C, the way they are.
C, I think it's tax exempt.
Taylor with confidence. That really worked well for Jontel on here.
Makes me think.
What you got, Jontel? You keep going. I want to.
What was D? What was D?
The way they are.
Everybody.
I'm going to go with D.
Stuck in time?
No, D, the way they are.
Oh, the way they are. Okay. Terrain?
I'm going stuck in time.
Well, I'm pleased, especially after, dissing Terrain, like, by not having on the podcast so many times and being a racist dick on this one. Terrain is the champion, winning one in this. It was so forgiving. That is the one that doesn't belong.
Oh. I'll take it.
Well.
So Terrain, you win a prize to hear Love It or Leave It live in New York with Taylor.
I won't forget that present. That's not a present I'll just forget about and be like, no one got me one.
Oh yeah, so strange.
So is that a good quick game to do? Should we do another one in the future, or was it like, what do you think, Taylor?
I liked it.
I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was funny how bad you guys were.
it's maybe if you made it like a little more
racially sensitive.
Well, I was going to say like a little easier to get the answer.
Oh, I see. Wait a minute. Actually, aren't you the one who's tried to score our game so that everyone wins in the end in your socialist phase?
Yeah, I do. I like a close game. Although this one ended up being close.
It did end up being close. This was just like a soccer match that ends 1-0 after like 90 grueling minutes of near misses. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Jontel, Terrain, so much love and affection for what you guys are doing and for spending time with us. Alcoholitics, you can find it, Terrain, everywhere, right? On all the podcasts.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Podbean, Budapod.
Stitcher. your local library. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find it.
Awesome.
You
got anything else going on that you want to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at Terrain Myrix. It's usually, politics stuff or sports stuff.
Ooh. I didn't know about the sports. All right. Jontel?
Awesome, sus. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And there is two events coming up in September that I'm a part of and will be filming. The Christian Historical Society has the anniversary of the Christiana Resistance, where Black people freed slaves, fought off a Black slave owner, were tried for treason, and got off. And it's going to be an awesome event.
Is that in Lancaster?
Yes, Lancaster and Christiana, which is on the border of Chester County and Lancaster County.
That's so
really awesome event.
Cool. I had no idea about that.
Yes, Black Union reenactors. I've done an episode about it. I'm going to do another one coming up soon just to remind people.
I feel a barnstorming field trip.
Yes,
you gotta
please.
Get the field equipment out again.
Seriously, it's something that you want to come and see. It's not just Lancaster history. It's American history. And it's not Black history. It's American history.
Absolutely.
And I'm very proud of it. I have ancestors that took part of it. So I'm really excited about that. And then 2 days after that is the 1 year anniversary of Ricardo Munoz's death. Lancaster City Police shot and killed him. A year ago, we are holding a candlelight vigil for that. So again, I do run a platform that's on all social media platforms. And I do have little tidbits of videos that I am still posting. I'm actually, once I get off of here now, going to be going live to talk about a really great rapper in Minneapolis that has taken the movement out there and put it into his music and let it inspire him. So it's pretty, pretty dope.
Tune in. Awesome.
John, tell us, send us the links for those things on Facebook or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Because during this podcast, my profile has been banned. I cannot go live or comment. For 60 days, I tried to send you guys the link to the vigil. I directly sent it to Jordy. So if you guys could share it, I would really love that. It is a good 3 weeks away. So
here it is.
Time for people to come down or stand in solidarity in their own town with a candle if you'd like to.
What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, you didn't tell us that.
It is the Leon Block One in all caps.
I tried to post it. Oh, there it is. Arden Hunt. Oh, look, is this somebody who seems to be one of your supporters?
Yes.
Awesome. We have lots of content coming out, as we said, yes. Taylor, and
you can follow me at Taylor M. Lightman on Twitter.
Yep.
The real Taylor Lightman on Instagram, and that's about it. And you know, all the barnstorming stuff.
Yeah, at Barnstorming PA is on Facebook, Twitter. We're on Instagram. I need to get better at that. I need like an Instagram guru. I do want to close out, and maybe this is something we could even work in at some point, is like some of the stuff we're reading or absorbing or videos, whatever. But I've been listening to this history called The End of the Myth. It won the Pulitzer like 2 years ago. So I'm listening to the Audible version. It's so, so, so good, everybody. And just like, you know, things that I kind of knew but had sort of forgotten. I've just finished a chapter about the Mexican-American War, which was so like, you listen to it and it's like kind of the birth of some of the white, black kind of like in a bad way, like racial tensions that we're still living in now, and so the Civil War. But one of the things, Jontel, that was really interesting to me was in an earlier chapter, there were all these people in Pennsylvania around Harrisburg, actually, terrain was like more the like Western frontier, like in the 17, before the Revolutionary War, I think. There was a group of white vigilantes who were killing Native Americans to make room for whites. And they got kicked out of Pennsylvania, and I forget their name, right? And they were like outlaws, and they went to Tennessee, which something, is where I'm from.
The Baxton Boys,
I yes, think. Yeah, something Baxton like boys, that. Something. Yeah. And they went to Tennessee, where they were like, "Oh, we love you," and I was like, "Oh shit,
damn it."
So yeah, there's so much fascinating history, you know, that I you know, it's easy to overlook. So thank you.
Reading about the Seven Years' War, which we call the French and Indian War.
Yep.
This whole global war was started by some stupid, or I don't want to say stupid, I'm editorializing, but by George Washington. He was like 23 years old or something like that. And he,
oh, really?
Like,
I thought it was all about European empires fighting each other.
Yeah, no, but it was kicked off by the opening skirmish was led by George Washington.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's so much fascinating stuff.
Super interesting.
We won't have time to go into tonight.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Huge. And whatever we owe you.
Yeah.
Tickets. our first in-person live show.
Look, the only I is if you're doing live shows, let me know. I'd be more than happy to come. I'd love to watch. I'd love to participate. And if you need an opening act, Alco is free.
All right. Thank you.
I'd be honored.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Okay. That's the end of life. All right. Well, thank you for, again, for putting up with all the time. I've been everywhere. Trouble I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Waterloo, Lackawanna, Fairview, Bellevue, Sweet Root, Susquehanna, Lewisburg, Stroudsburg, Illiesburg, Orbisonia, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Willisburg, Robsonia, Mountaintop, Glen Rock, Flat Rock, Sunbury, St. Mary, Schick, Shanny, Big Shanny, I'm a dandy. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valleys fair, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel like